What's going on, everybody? Happy Friday. Welcome to another edition here of Mean Streets on our FTN Network YouTube page. Chris Meany here with you. Appreciate you guys taking the time to hang out with me. I have a couple NFL props for week 15 of the NFL season, a couple picks against the spread, some totals. We got a teaser, a parlay, and we have 10 touchdown props for you guys as well. If you have any starter sit questions, you can reach out at Chris Meany. You can leave the question in the comment section here on our FTN Network YouTube page, and I will circle back on these videos. Always circling back on these videos to help you guys out. But I'm going to come at you quick pace here with a couple props. There's some injuries that are filtering through, some players that are looking questionable and doubtful. We still don't have every single injury just yet. My rankings, our projections, you can catch over at ftnfantasy.com. Links inside the description of this video as well to bring you to some of those projections and those rankings. It does sound like CJ Stroud is doubtful in this game. Nico Collins is not going to play this week in the game between the Texans and the Tennessee Titans. Isaiah Pacheco is ruled out, underwent surgery. I would say if you're a Pacheco owner, you may be without him for the fantasy football playoffs. Make sure CEH is rostered, Jerick McKinnon, and again, have those handcuffs, those second quarterbacks, those second defenses, even the second tight end or two. You don't want to be scrambling on the waiver wire for some replacement. So have your bases covered as we head into the weekend with three Saturday games. Just a crazy game on Thursday Night Football. Zamir White season. Let's see if we can carry over some of those props from yesterday's episode into today's episode. So again, this is going to be a props and picks episode here. Any starter set questions at Chris Meany, meanstreetsftn@gmail.com. I got five props here for you that I like, and I'm going to start here with Deebo Samuel at over 58.5 receiving yards at minus 110. Deebo's racked up 265 receiving yards over his last two games, 11 grabs on 15 targets over that span. He's a good bet to find the end zone as well. He's got five touchdowns over his last three games and seven of his last five. He's, according to our wide receiver cornerback matchup tool, the third best matchup of the week. He's going to be lined up against left cornerback Marco Wilson, and he's coughed up 1.85 yards per route run covered, which is the fourth most of any corner playing this weekend. Arizona has allowed a league-high 70% completion rate to opposing quarterbacks, and we know Brock Purdy leads the NFL in completion percentage, QBR, and passing yards per attempt. The Cardinals sixth in yards allowed per attempt, and they've surrendered the third most points in the NFL. This is oddly strange at 58.5, the receiving yard number, but I'm taking it. And we'll move over here next to Cooper Kupp. You see two Rams on the board. Cooper Kupp over 72.5 receiving yards, minus 114. Again, prop shop parlay calculator, two tools that are free. Links inside the description of this video, but over at ftnbets.com. Save you a lot of time, a lot of cash. You're not going to be searching around at all these books like Google search. You type in Cooper Kupp, and what do I see? I see Cooper Kupp here at minus 114 at FanDuel, and I'm going to jump all over that. A vintage Kupp game last week against the best pass defense in football. The wideout had eight catches, 10 targets, 115 yards, scored a touchdown for the second straight game. And with that big game from Kupp and Matthew Stafford, who's been fantastic over the past 3 weeks in a couple tough spots himself, the Ravens have now allowed a league-best 5.6 yards per attempt. That's it, 5.6 yards per attempt, the fourth fewest passing yards allowed in football. Now Kupp gets the best possible matchup on the board, best possible spot for a quarterback as well. The Commanders, they rank first in yards per attempt at 8.1. 5.6 to 8.1 from the Ravens to the Commanders. First in passing yards, 266 per game. First in yards overall per game, nearly 400, 380. And they also lead football in points allowed per game at 30. They check in 31st in DVOA defense and 31st in pass DVOA over at ftnbets.com. So we're taking Cooper Kupp. Let's just slide right into Puka Nacua as well, right? The same matchup, the same reasons I like Matthew Stafford, the Rams, and Kupp. Same reason I like Nacua here. 90 and 139 total yards in each of his last two games. So this is why we're taking 70.5 rushing and receiving combined at minus 115 over at Bet365. His receiving yard props in the mid-60s. I like that one as well. I think it's like a solid bet. But Nacua, he's totaled 40 receiving yards on three carries over his last 2 weeks, getting involved in other ways. Sean McVay trying to get the ball in his hands. I know Kyron Williams is back and he's going to get a lot of touches, probably another 20 plus for him. But Nacua, maybe an end around or something here. But the biggest thing is he has seven targets in every single game this season, and he's topped 70 total yards in nine of his 13 games. We love the spot. Stafford's passing yard prop is creeped up to almost 280 now. Really good situation for him, Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. The other prop here I have is Ezekiel Elliott at over 18.5 receiving yards at minus 120. I'd take anything as high as 22. We have him for 24 in our projections. I think he gets up to nearly 30 again. And last week, without Ramondre Stevenson, 30 attempts, 22 carries, 8 targets. Attempts, carries plus targets. He had 7 catches on those 8 targets. He racked up 72 receiving yards. It sounds like maybe New England's getting a little bit healthier at the wide receiver position, but Ramondre was a big player in the passing game. Zeke is going to be a big player in the passing game as well with Billy Zappi. No Ramondre Stevenson this week. I would expect similar usage for Ezekiel Elliott, another 30, maybe 30 opportunities, flirting with 20 plus carries. You know, it's a tough matchup against the Chiefs, but they have been much better through the air than on the ground. And for Zeke himself, 11 catches and 112 receiving yards over his last two games. And the Pats are nearly 10 point dogs here at home against a ticked off Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City Chiefs team that I don't expect them to go in and just blow out New England. The defense has been really good, but if they do push the pace and they get up a couple scores, you see a couple dump offs here for Zeke. I would take anything as high as 24 and a half receiving yards for Ezekiel Elliott. And then the final guy on the board here is Amon-Ra St. Brown at over 70.5 receiving yards at -115 for Amon-Ra. A couple dud games in a row for him. His two worst when it comes to catches and receiving yards. He does have over 1,000 yards in 12 games. It's 88.6 per game. He only has 5 grabs and 70 yards in his last two games. So let's not go game log chasing here. Those two games came on the road. He has a home matchup here this week, and he's top 75 receiving yards in all 5 of his home games. He's averaging 96.8 yards per game at home and 82.7 on the road. And his quarterback, Jared Goff, is averaging 273 yards, 7.7 yards per attempt, with a 70% completion rate at home, Ford Field. Away from Ford Field, a 64% completion mark, only 258 passing yards per game and 7.1 yards per attempt. And he should avoid Amon-Ra, that is, Patrick Surtain, according to our wide receiver quarterback matchup tool. I don't believe he'll follow Amon-Ra. He should be go there. And it's a decent matchup, the best one out of any Detroit Lions wide receiver. And I know that Goff and the Lions have been careless lately, and the Denver Broncos have been very opportunistic on defense, and we'll get into that in just a little bit. So Deebo Samuel over 58.5 receiving yards, Cooper Kupp over 72.5 receiving yards, Ezekiel Elliott over 18.5 receiving yards, Amon-Ra St. Brown at over 70.5 receiving yards, and Puka Nacua at over 70.5 rushing and receiving yards. Because of the couple end rounds and carries I've seen him receive over the past couple weeks, I still like the 66.5 if your book doesn't offer the rush and receiving yard. And Cooper Kupp is at 5.5 grabs. It's slightly juiced now. We've got the over 5.5 at -136 from FanDuel at our bet tracker, but I would still include that one. I think he gets 6 plus catches in this matchup against Washington. Here are a couple players that I think will find the end zone this week. And of course, we do have Cooper Kupp there for a lot of the same reasons. I won't bore you here, but he does have touchdowns in back-to-back games. And we like the fact that Washington's allowed 20 touchdowns to wide receivers. It's the second most in football. Brandon Ayuk. So we're starting here, you know, with my favorites. The odds are a little bit lower. I got some longer shots towards the end, but get my reasoning behind some of these guys. Brandon Ayuk, 4 touchdowns in his last 5 games. Ayuk has the number one matchup in our wide receiver cornerback matchup tool over at ftmfantasy.com. The Cardinals have allowed 22 passing touchdowns this season, which ranks 4th. We just gave some love earlier to Purdy and the QBR and the quarterback completion percentage and the yards per attempt. The play calling's fantastic, and he's got 13 touchdowns in his last 5 games. Raheem Mostert here, I'm going to take this anytime I see plus money, plus 105 over at DraftKings. He's got 18 touchdowns on the season. 18! He scored in 10 of his 13 games this year. Remarkable. He had 2 against the Jets in week 12 on 20 carries. The Jets have only allowed 3 touchdowns to wide receivers. You don't really attack them through the air. I know Tyreek Hill is questionable to play in this game. Devon Achane, is looking doubtful to play in this game. So Mostert could get a big bulk of the work here, especially if there's no Tyreek Hill. We could see a lot of carries for him and some usage through the air as well. Sam Laporta, one of my favorites here on Mean Streets, plus 160 over at FanDuel to score a touchdown. The Broncos have allowed 6 touchdowns to tight ends, which is one off the league high. Only Cincinnati has allowed more receiving yards to tight ends than the Broncos, and the Broncos have allowed the third most catches to the position as well. Laporta, 6 scores on the season, 2 in his last three games. And he also has a 2-point conversion. He had one, that is, in week 11 and week 12. So he is used inside the red zone, as is Jake Ferguson, ladies and gentlemen. 185 plus 185 for Jake Ferguson to find pay dirt. Second in the NFL in red zone targets behind his teammate CeeDee Lamb. He's also second in targets inside the 10 behind Tyreek Hill. Ferguson, 4 touchdowns in his last 7 games. Tony Pollard has struggled as a goal line back, which is part of the reason why Dak leads the NFL with 84 pass attempts inside the red zone, 11 more than the next closest quarterback, which is Jordan Love. Now, of course, the offense is good, and that's a big reason as well. They're moving the football up and down. This is a tougher spot away from Dallas in Buffalo. Sloppy weather, looks like some wind and some rain, but should they get inside the red zone, I like Jake Ferguson to get a couple looks, just like Rashee Rice as well. This is another guy that's inside the top 10 in red zone targets. Got 6 touchdowns, 5 in his last 9. If you go look at the game log, he probably won't score a touchdown this week, because since week 5, he's gone touchdown, no touchdown, touchdown, no touchdown, touchdown, no touchdown, touchdown last week, maybe no touchdown here, but a decent opportunity for him against the Patriots. We mentioned they're big favorites here. Kansas City, that is. New England inside the top 10 receiving touchdowns allowed to wide receivers. And we're seeing Rashee Rice as really the only wide receiver that Patrick Mahomes can count on at the moment. And he's trending up at the right time for fantasy owners and for the Kansas City Chiefs. Isaiah Likely here at plus 280, Likely had a score last week. He's got 13 targets and 9 grabs, over 120 receiving yards in his last 2 games without Mark Andrews here. David Njoku at plus 240. Njoku also scored a touchdown last week. In fact, he had 2. He's picked up 14 targets in his last 2 games, you know, with Joe Flacco under center. Flacco's leaning on the mismatch of, that is, David Njoku, and he certainly is. The Bears defense has been strong this season, especially lately, and really good against running backs, but they have allowed a tight end to score against them in 3 of their last 6 games, 4 if you include the 2-point conversion, and I believe that one was from David Njoku against the Bears. Or Sam LaPorta, excuse me, against the Bears. And then a couple long shots here. How about Chris Godwin? What are we doing? I just think this number is just too long to ignore. Chris Godwin, you know, he's had a very disappointing season in terms of fantasy. There's no question about it. He is considered a game time decision this week, so it's something that you want to just kind of keep an eye on. And it's a little bit of a sprinkle here on Godwin. The targets are still there. He's got 96 targets on the season. He had 11 last week. He's got the 1 receiving touchdown, which came against the Bills. He had a rushing touchdown in week 13 against Carolina. The volume is still there, and that is encouraging. I know Mike Evans is getting a lot of look, and I like Rashad White to score a touchdown, a little bit of a sprinkle on him to score 2 touchdowns. You can run on the Green Bay Packers, but I just have this feeling that Chris Godwin's going to come up big for us. He's going to tick off all the fantasy owners that drafted him as their wide receiver, as is the wide receiver 2, maybe 3. Hopefully you're not out of the playoffs, but I could see that, right? Ah, you drafted Godwin and you got Godwin. I got Godwin in a dynasty squad. He's done nothing for me all year, not make the playoffs. And then Godwin pops off with a touchdown in the quarter final matchup. That's usually how it works in fantasy football world, but I actually like this spot for him. I like this matchup. The attention will be on Mike Evans. And if Godwin doesn't play, I would consider Cade Otton at a similar price to find the end zone. Then the other kind of dart throw, long shot touchdown call I have here is Dalton Schultz. And my goodness, everybody in Houston is looking out, right? Tank Dell a couple weeks ago. Nico Collins is out. CJ Stroud is doubtful. We're going to see Davis Mills here under center for Houston, who's okay. He's probably better than a majority of the backups across the league. Dalton Schultz hasn't played over the last couple of weeks. He missed week 14 and week 13. He does have 5 touchdowns on the season. He had a touchdown in 3 straight games from week 4 to week 6. Of course, this is a downgrade at the quarterback position, but not a super significant downgrade in a matchup here against the Titans, who have been strong against tight ends, but we're just running out of bodies for the Texans, right? That's it. I mean, we could see Dalton Schultz rack up 7 to 8 targets in this game. We could see the quarterback in Mills, who hasn't played this season, lean on, I'll call him a veteran tight end at this point, Dalton Schultz, who's been a big player in the Dallas Cowboys system over the past couple of seasons and a red zone target here for Mills in a matchup against the Titans, where they were favored and now they are dogs on the road. So those are the touchdown calls here. Cooper Kupp, Brandon Ayuk, Raheem Mostert, Sam LaPorta, Jake Ferguson, Rashee Rice, Isaiah Likely, David Njoku, Chris Godwin, and Dalton Schultz in there. And the I would say Schultz ahead of Godwin with the game time tag there. But, you know, in order of how I like them here as we head into week 15. This one, I'm thinking for some picks. We got the Ravens here at -3 against Jacksonville. The Ravens just keep finding ways to win. I was very impressed with the Rams and what they were able to do in Baltimore last week. And I just haven't been impressed with Jacksonville's defense over the past couple weeks. Back-to-back losses to Cleveland and Cincinnati inside the AFC North. Another opponent here. Jake Browning and Joe Flacco. Those are the two quarterbacks that the Jags lost to in their last two games. They allowed 65 points in those losses, over 30 points in each of those games. 9-point dogs, Cincinnati, the Bengals were as they entered Jacksonville. And even with Trevor Lawrence leaving that game, the Bengals were still going to cover, and they found a way to win the game late. I have been impressed with Jake Browning, but come on. Lost to Browning and lost to Joe Flacco. Now they have to face Lamar. 300 yards and 3 touchdowns last week against the Rams. And really, for the Rams, their defense had been taking shape. It had been much better. It was the first game they had allowed a 300-yard passer. So credit to Lamar Jackson getting it done in that game. Now the Jags, second most passing yards allowed behind Washington, top 10 overall in yards allowed. T-Law not 100%. And he struggled against good defenses of the season, San Fran, Cleveland, KC. Those are top defenses, in my opinion. Now he has to face Baltimore. So we're taking the Ravens at -3. I take 3.5. It's still out there for you guys. The Rams at -6.5, as we talked about earlier, with just Stafford and Kupp and company. And what is a really good spot. The Rams league high in terms of yards allowed, passing yards allowed, yards per attempt, points allowed, most points to quarterbacks, second most fantasy points to wide receivers, top 10 to running backs, dead last in DVOA defense, and second worst against the pass, right? And then we have the Rams that now top 10 offense in terms of offensive DVOA, 7th in pass DVOA. Stafford, 10 passing touchdowns in his last three games, 294 against the Baltimore Ravens in 3, 279 and 3 against Cleveland. Love Kupp, love Nacua. Kyren Williams back, 3 games, 64 attempts, over 340 yards, 12 catches, over 80 receiving yards, 3 total touchdowns. Rams are rolling at the right time. I like them to make the playoffs. The Broncos here at +5. Two teams trending in opposite directions. This line has moved a little bit, but I did jump on the +5. I like Detroit to win the game, but since week 7, Denver's 6-1. They have a +11 turnover differential, only allowing 15 points per game. Since that same time span, we have Detroit. They've allowed 28 points per game, nearly double. -8 in the turnover differential game. Goff, 12 turnovers since week 7, 7 picks. I know some of those games that came on the road. We talked about Amon-Ra, the splits with Goff and company, but it's a team and a quarterback has been careless, and their defense has been lacking over the last few weeks. And then we have a Broncos team playing with a lot of confidence, and Russell Wilson's playing really good football, taking care of the football. And Cortland Sutton's got 10 touchdowns on the season. The Lions have allowed a lot of receiving touchdowns so far this year to wide receivers. I think this game will be tight. I think it'll be close. It should be like a playoff atmosphere-like type game at Ford Field. It should be a good one. And I like the Broncos to keep this close. The Falcons, it's like the only team that I would take. You know, I like the Rams at a similar price as well. I think it's a little bit more juiced up. I don't like to give any moneyline plays here that are this juice, but -116 for Atlanta. They're 3-point favorites. I would lean with just taking them, at -3. I think the game will be close. The Falcons are not going to blow anybody away offensively, but Carolina can't score. Atlanta's been really good against running backs. They've been decent against wide receivers too. I believe they've only allowed 3 wide receivers to have 100 yards against them as well. I'm pretty sure I have that correct. The Bucs for the upset at +152 against the Packers. We talked on Monday's show about Green Bay not being this good. I'm impressed that they beat the Chiefs, and you know the defense was great, and they were able to score some points. And Jordan Love's had some really nice moments. I don't want to take anything away from Love. He should have a decent game here against this Tampa Bay secondary. But Baker, man, he's keeping the Bucs in this thing. Mike Evans has been awesome. Rashad White is fantastic. They can lean on the ground game here with Rashad White. He's RB5 currently on the season. He's got a couple 100-yard games over the past couple of weeks. He's scoring touchdowns. He's taking advantage now of good matchups, and he had tough ones earlier to start the season. So I like the Bucs maybe to go into Lambeau, pull off an upset here. And last week, 6.5-point favorites against the Giants. And I just don't think this Packers team is that good. They beat up on a Chargers team, which we know is just brutal defensively. And they came back against, actually, they didn't even come back. They had a nice little lead there against the Lions on Thanksgiving, and talk about their defense not being very good as well. So I understand Tampa has some issues in their secondary, but I believe this is going to be close. I also like the Tampa +3.5. It's my upset of the week. I got Dallas here. It's a coin flip game. I think the Cowboys and the Buffalo Bills this week. The Bills are certainly much better at home, but they're missing some starters defensively. Hyde is not going to play in this game. I talked about the sloppy weather. The desperation factor should be there on both squads. I mean, you could talk about that all day, but it really doesn't mean a whole lot. Everybody wants to win football games. Well, not everybody, I guess. The Chargers didn't look like they wanted to win a football game against the Raiders, and maybe that had to do with Staley. But one thing I will say, Dallas, they have been much better at home, right? Nearly 40 points per game at home, 7-0, 3-3 on the road. They lost to Arizona. They're 1-2 in outdoor games. Buffalo, 5-1 at home, 14 points allowed per game. All signs pointing to Buffalo winning this game, hostile environment. I like where Dak and Dallas is at offensively. And I think that the issues that the Bills have defensively will creep up in this game. Josh Allen can only do so much. They haven't closed a lot of football games. They got lucky last week, not closing that football game. They've given up a lot. I mean, we've seen Josh Allen do just about everything he can this year to put his team into situations to win football games late, and the defense has let them down. And I think that Dallas will find a way to go in and into Bills Mafia and win the football game. I got unders here for totals. Chicago and Cleveland under 38.5. I just really like where Chicago's defense is at over the past couple weeks. Cleveland really missing a lot of starters. Don't be surprised if the Bears keep this thing really, really close. So 38.5. Tough environment to go play football. Fields will struggle at times. I think Flacco will struggle at times. I don't see a lot of offense in this game, and Cleveland missing a lot of players too on their offensive line here. Flacco as a statue has done some really nice things, but this Bears defense has shown that they can get after the quarterback since the addition of Sweat, and they show that they can stop the run. It's gonna be a tough for both offensive squads here. Dallas and Phil and Buffalo here, the under 50.5. I just think because of some of the things I said about Dallas, maybe struggling a little bit offensively on the road, but also just both defenses, you know, Buffalo still has some players, even though I said they're missing some guys, both defenses can make some stops here. And if there's just, if Dallas, you know, has a couple three and outs or Buffalo has a couple three and outs, we could certainly get the under here. Our model loves the under here as like a 43, 44 point game. And that's how I see it as well. A 23-20 game, a field goal game, taking the under in that one. And I'm taking the under in Philadelphia and Seattle as well. To this moment, talking to you guys, I don't know the situation between Drew Lock and Geno Smith. I'm unsure. I'll feel better about the Eagles covering the spread if there is indeed no Geno Smith. I think this is a really tough game for Philadelphia. They're sputtering on offense. They're not playing good football at the moment offensively. Defensively, they're not playing great either. 48.5 does feel like a little bit of a high number for me, considering what I've seen from Philly's offense and the potential of maybe Drew Lock. If Geno Smith plays, maybe I lean a little bit more to this potentially being a shootout. Seattle certainly covering and being home dogs would be alive if Geno was there, but I'm going to lean with the under 48.5 here. I think that we'll see the Eagles run the football, lean on the offensive line. You can run on Seattle. You can pass on both of these teams that are in the top 10 in passing yards allowed. I think that's why the reason that this number is as high as it is. But I think Philly will lean on the ground game, run the football, get back to some long drives, keep things simple here, take care of the football. And you know that will kind of eat some. At the start of the season when they were rolling, they had like 10 to 14 play drives that ate like 8 to 10 minutes off the clock. I think that's what we'll see from Philadelphia. You get back to what works best for you. As for a parlay here, KC, LA, and Baltimore +165 money line parlay. Got a 6-point teaser here. KC at -1.5, San Fran at -6.5. The Rams just to win the football game, Dallas at +8, and Baltimore kind of the reverse. Don't really do that too often, but I don't expect Jacksonville to win the game. But in case they do, we got +3 for Baltimore there. That's it. That's the picks against the spread, the totals, the money line plays, the teaser there. We got some props here for you guys and some touchdown props. Good luck in week 15 of the NFL season. Remember to get those lineups set for Saturday. We got 3 games on the schedule. If you guys have any questions, reach out at Chris Meaney on the X Machine, Mean Streets, FTN. @gmail.com. You can leave any kind of comment or questions you have in the YouTube section here. If you're listening on iTunes and Spotify, just hop on over to our FTN Network YouTube page. I appreciate if you guys could smash the like button, subscribe to our FTN Network YouTube page, as well as rate, review, and subscribe. If you're looking for more, again, Links inside the description of this video, bringing you to the bet tracker at ftnbets.com, bringing you to the rankings and the projections at ftnfantasy.com. Have a good one, guys. Good luck this week. Hopefully you advance to the semis. Cheers.